in elementary and middle school, why you draw a compelling reason to get to type 3.
So I was planning to address that as part of my remarks, so maybe I should just make my remarks. Okay. We can get into that. So I'd like to do a couple things. First, fully associate myself with everything my fellow commissioners have said. I'd like to elaborate on a couple of the questions you asked staff, because I think there's a little more elucidation that will help inform the discussion today, and then I want to talk about traffic safety. So Commissioner Fish, you asked the question, why is the hurdle for grade changes higher than the hurdle for reactivating a school? And I don't think that's an either or. I think it's an and, that if you had a school that went out of use, if you brought it back to use with different grade levels, I think you would have to meet both sets of review criteria, and we should ask staff to come back and clarify that. So I think if you had a K to 8, you mothballed it, you brought it back as a K to 8, it's a type 2, but if you brought it back as a high school, you'd have to do the type 3 review. So
I think you'd agree, though, that if you had bought your house during the 8-year period in which there was not an activated school and they activated a high school, you would consider that a substantial change, whether it was a change or not.
And I would tell you that the policy question we worked on was not the level of review there, but the number of years, because it was 3 years. We extended it to 5. We did not really seriously talk about the level of review that was required there. Second question was asked is, you know, currently are changes within K to 8 subject to conditional reviews under the code? And the answer that Deborah gave is no, and that is correct as the code is interpreted today. But there's some nuance under that that the community is very definitely interested in. And that is that the City of Portland code very clearly talks about 3 grade levels, elementary, middle or junior high, and high school or senior high, and requires movements between those to go through conditional use. But because we use the word elementary school, and state law now defines elementary school as K to 8, BDS has interpreted that code to now mean that there is no review of K to 8, not because the City of Portland changed its intent, but because state law changed the definition of the word, and that's part of the reason we're going to talk about specific grades, not middle schools or junior highs, in the code revision. So most of those 102 zoning violations were, very few of them were about Fernwood. Most of them were about the grade changes in the K to 8 conversion, and the public believes that the City of Portland code says what it says, which is there are 2 divisions within K to 8, not just 1. And that's a core part of the question that we were asked to address. So that will lead me into traffic safety. We drew a distinction between adding middle school students to an elementary school and adding elementary school students to a middle school. And the simple premise there was that if you have an environment where it's safe for a first grader to walk around, presumably a fifth grader or sixth grader can walk around there without a lot of risk. But the converse is not true. If you have a middle school environment where a teenager or preteen can safely cross the street and get around, that does not mean the kindergartner can safely cross that street. And we felt very strongly that, you know, the code is clear that we have a responsibility in conditional use review to ensure safety for all modes. That is the language in the code. And that we could not assure that when you moved K through 5 into a middle school environment that you were assured of safety for all modes without review. And that is not strictly the realm of the school district. The school district only controls its own property. They don't control the intersection a block away or the major arterial 3 blocks away. The city controls that. And it is absolutely vital that when we make these conversions where we add younger students, that we have that review. I think without that, we are abrogating our basic life safety responsibility. Safe Routes to School is a wonderful program, but it is voluntary and cooperative. It is not regulatory. And it is mostly about recapturing those students who today may be driven to school and getting them to walk or ride a bicycle to school. So if we create an environment that is not safe, one of two things happens. Either we have students who are walking or biking in unsafe conditions, or parents recognize that and start driving those younger students to school. And that additional traffic is very clearly within the set of impacts that a conditional use review is intended to comprehend, understand, mitigate. I don't see any way in good conscience that we surrender our review in that situation where we're adding younger students.
So I listened carefully to that, but then help us understand, if your view is there should be some review, why is there such a discrepancy then between staff recommendation, which was no conditional use, and then type 3? Did you consider something short of type 3 if the goal was to have some review? Why did you come down on the highest possible review?
Right. So I think we are, in that case, trying to satisfy two different issues. The retention of review from K to 5 into a middle school was about the traffic safety issue. The use of type 3 was about encouraging the kind of conversation about how the city and the school district jointly govern this situation that my colleagues have talked about. So if you feel like type 3 is inappropriate in that situation, I would ask you to refer it back to us with that direction and let us work through that.
If I can just, so Chris, if I'm listening to you correctly, or the Planning Commission, I guess, you're saying emerging a K through 5 with a 6 through 8 may present safety problems.
Moving K through 5 students into a current middle school environment, yes.
Merging
the other direction,
may present
not so problematic.
Unanticipated traffic safety issues.
Correct.
Because fewer people will walk or more people will drive.
Because younger students don't have the same skills to deal with the transportation environment that older students do, and that will either result in unsafe conditions or more students being driven.
So if somebody wishes to oppose such a merger and pursue it as a Type 3 review, I mean, they're going to be arguing about intersections that could be blocks away from the school being unsafe or below failure.
Yeah. Certainly that's yours to consider. That's what we considered in terms of what we thought was the highest, best use of the neighborhood's needs.
And it seems to me, Commissioner, that that would be why, again, it would be a good to be a Type 3 rather than a Type 2. Of Type 2, the hearings officer can't do anything about the intersection being unsafe. If it gets to council, we have the option of saying, okay, we're going to prioritize that particular intersection improvement to make it safe.
Well, that raises another question. Since we have such a distinguished panel, I've got to ask Chris a related point, which is, we just went through one of the most comprehensive and probably charged debates ever with respect to our zoning code, and that had to do with the river and had to do with river review. And one of the things that I'm struck by is that after all that deliberation and testimony, the overwhelming sense from the Planning Commission was that we should stick with a Type 2 review process for these significant environmental issues that are at the heart of maintaining a working harbor and cleaning up our environment. And I'm having trouble understanding why, for something as significant to Portland's future as River Review, we thought that Type 2 was sufficient, but for a decision by a school district as to whether to make some changes within K-8, you believe that that should be that trigger a Type 3 process. And I guess I don't understand that distinction.
Right. So, you should give my colleagues an opportunity to answer that, because there were more than a dozen Planning Commission hearings on the river. I was there for one of them, so they have much more experience on the river plan issues than I do, and I won't try and get into that. But I also think that you have a different circumstance when you have an industrial use along the river. Certainly there are key environmental values that we all want to be very protective of. But when you're talking about transportation around a school in a neighborhood, you're affecting the livability of a community. And the number of parties, and particularly the notification provisions of Type 3, which has a wider radius, are significant in that case where you have to affect a residential neighborhood.
And I will tell you that what I heard from some of our friends on the environmental side was, don't go to Type 3 on River Review because you will politicize the process by giving the council the voice. And
again,
I just have to say that it depends on where you sit here as to whether our Type 3 review is helpful or not to a process.
I would answer that question that you asked, Commissioner Fish, by simply saying people. In the North Reach, we were not dealing with populations moving across difficult intersections. We were talking about a whole different situation. And that debate was wrenching, as you know. The North Reach was a very, very difficult and long process. At the end of the day, we wanted to be very careful about economic development versus over-regulatory mandates, and I think we reached a very good conclusion there. But the short answer to your question is your children. That's why we went to Type 3, your children, and the safety of those kids in terms of where they would be outside the school boundaries.
If I could just follow up on that, in your deliberations, did anybody bring to you a specific example of where it would be safe for a sixth grader to traverse back and forth from the school to home, and it would not be safe for a first or second grader?
You mean an actual geographic
Exactly.
Example? Especially one right in my neighborhood.
I'm actually asking these guys that in their deliberations.
You know, I actually don't recall. There was 18 months of testimony here, Commissioner Leonard, and a lot of very, very politicized and polarized people around this issue. So specifically, did somebody say, did the corner of Ainsworth and whatever right. be? I don't recall that. What we were being was intuitive around what these people look like. What does a 5-year-old look like versus what does a 12-year-old look like in terms of the impact on a neighborhood and how those two individuals get to and from school?
So that was my next question, was going to be, were there any objective kinds of data provided to you from other cities, from our own traffic engineers that distinguished between routes that may be safe for one level of grade but unsafe for another level?
I don't recall that. I'm probably not.
And my understanding is that Kurt Kruger, who actually does these reviews for PBOT, is here today and available to testify. So I think that would be an excellent question for you to put to him.
Thank you.
Perhaps we should get to testimony.
So we have one other group, a panel of invited testimony. So can you gentlemen or at least one representative of the commission stick around just for a little while longer in case some questions come up?
You keep paying us, sure.
Same price as usual.
Overtime. We pay you overtime.
Double. Yep.
It's
Thank
overtime.
Thank you for your testimony. We are well served by our planning commissioners. I know there's some parents here with children who we're going to bump to the head of the line when we get to testimony, but we also have, I understand, one or more representatives of school districts, which I want to also give a chance to come forward. So, CJ Sylvester, you're here from Portland Public Schools. Are there any other representatives from any other school district within Portland who seek recognition? Okay, CJ, you're welcome to make a presentation, and welcome.
Thank you very much. Council President and City Commissioners, my name is CJ Sylvester. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Portland Public Schools, 501 North Dixon Street here in Portland. I'm here this afternoon to provide testimony on behalf of the school district regarding the Planning Commission's recommendation to you on the Schools and Parks Conditional Use Code Refinement Project. I appreciate both the opportunity to testify today on this project and the city's inclusion of PPS staff in this code refinement project as it has taken shape over the last 18 months. City staff and the Planning Commission have done an incredible job through this project to clarify a number of confusing issues in the city's zoning code relating to public school and park uses. PPS appreciates this work and the opportunity to be involved in the process to clarify and streamline city regulations related to school and park use. I am also here today to share with you our concerns about one Planning Commission recommendation regarding grade level changes that involve grades K through 5. The Planning Commission voted to require a Type 3 conditional use review for adding grades K through 5 to a school with higher grades. This was contrary to Bureau staff recommendation, and I believe the Planning Commission did not provide sufficient findings for this additional requirement. Portland Public Schools requests the Schools and Parks Conditional Use Refinement Project release this Planning Commission recommendation and return to the original city staff recommendation regarding grade level changes. PPS supports the original staff recommendation to regulate two grade levels, grades K through 8 and 9 through 12, require a Type 3 conditional use review when grades 9 through 12 are added to a school with younger grades, and require a Type 2 conditional use review when grades K through 8 are added to school with grades 9 through 12. We support the regulation of these grade level changes as we recognize they will have impacts to the surrounding neighborhoods. The Planning Commission stated two intentions for recommending regulations of grade level changes that involve younger children. The first was to examine transportation system and pedestrian connections for younger children when they are added to schools with older children. And the second was to allow greater opportunity for public input into grade level changes at public schools. Let me first address the issue of transportation system safety for younger children. PPS holds the safety of its students and staff as paramount, including as they travel to and from their schools. We appreciate the fact that the city shares this concern. I submit that the care and safety of students at school is the role and responsibility of public school districts, and the building and fire codes that require school properties provide safe facilities for students, educators, and the public. I believe there is a more effective and collaborative approach we can take to address the transportation safety concerns that does not involve the city's land use review process. I suggest the concerns regarding transportation safety for younger children in our public schools are better addressed by fully funding and implementing the Safe Routes to Schools program for all public schools in the city. Currently, all but two of our elementary, middle, and K-8 schools participate in this program. There is significant participation by other public school districts as well. The program offers a range of services, from bicycle and pedestrian safety education to federally funded improvements in the public right-of-way to address unsafe traveling conditions for pedestrians and cyclists. The Safe Routes to School program develops continuing service plans for participating schools that provide educational and encouragement programs and events designed to raise safety awareness in students, parents, and staff. Service plans may also contain an engineering study developed by school administration, parents, neighborhoods, and the Portland Office of Transportation to identify improvements to address school-related transportation safety concerns. Engineering plans produce a prioritized list of major and minor projects that can range from pedestrian crossings and speed bumps to increased signage and tree trimming. An example of the implementation of such improvements can be seen at Buckman Elementary School. 8 of the 14 engineering projects identified in the continuing service plan have been installed. These projects include marked crosswalks, the addition of a speed table, and the installation of pedestrian warning signs. Each of the continuing service plans is developed by the school community, the community that lives with and knows the transportation challenges surrounding each school. Bureau of Transportation staff, school staff, teachers, parents, and nonprofit organizations that specialize in bicycle and pedestrian safety education work together to develop a unique plan for each school to improve the ability of students, parents, and staff to travel safely to each school. I believe that this collaborative, flexible approach better serves transportation safety concerns for younger children on an ongoing basis. Regarding the Planning Commission desire to have greater public involvement in public school grade level changes, I acknowledge the Planning Commission had to address a diversity of issues in this code refinement project and received considerable testimony regarding historic school programming decisions. Frustration about the district's K-8 conversion process and resulting school closures was the source of much of this testimony and also led to numerous zoning violations filed against the district. The reconfiguration of many schools to become K-8s and resulting school closures were both controversial and, at least initially, unevenly implemented. We know that despite many families' embrace of the new school model and an improvement in academic achievement over the old middle school schools that were replaced, many others are left with significant concerns and greater distrust of the district as a result of the K-8 conversion process. However, these are school programming issues and fall squarely under the jurisdiction of the Portland Public Schools duly elected Board of Education. Board directors are both responsible for the decisions and directly accountable to the public for them. We believe the city's land use review process is not the appropriate venue to debate or overturn public school programming decisions. Doing so interferes with the educational mission of public schools, the jurisdictional responsibilities of the elected school board, and the ability of schools to meet the educational needs of an ever-changing school-age population. The Planning Commission also heard testimony that PPS did not follow the appropriate land use review procedures for the K-8 conversion process. The zoning code currently defines school levels as elementary, middle, junior high, and high school, but does not define what grades are within each school level, nor does it address changes of grade within a school level. As has been documented in the code refinement project, PPS had been using the state of Oregon's definition of elementary school, grades K through 8, and high school, grades 9 through 12, in our grade level change process. As the city's zoning code does not define what grades constitute a school level, it is confusing when it comes to determining whether a conditional use review is required for changing grades within a school. This was the case in the K-8 conversion process. PPS did not seek a conditional use review when grade level changes were made, as we did not believe this review was required based on how we and the state define an elementary school containing any combination of grades K through 8. PPS has sought clarification of the zoning code language related to school and grade level changes through this code refinement project. Up until the January 12th Planning Commission hearing earlier this year, city staff recommendation was to regulate two grade levels, grades K through 8 and grades 9 through 12. City staff's proposed zoning code amendments would require a Type 3 conditional use review for the addition of any combination of grades 9 through 12 to a school with any combination of grades K through 8, and a type 2 conditional use review for adding any combination of grades K-8 to a school with grades 9 through 12. PPS supports these changes in the zoning code language and recognizes that these particular grade level changes could have impacts to the surrounding neighborhoods. In conclusion, let me say that PPS is grateful for both the support and partnership with the City of Portland to strengthen the education opportunities for our students and improve their academic achievement. We look forward to further strengthening our partnership in these critical missions and are hopeful that our opportunities to work together are not clouded by a confusing and unnecessary regulatory process. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to testify today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions from my colleagues?
I do.
Mr. Leonard.
Thank you. So you spoke to the part dealing with the change in the proposed changes in grades that might be subject to a review. I'm also curious about this new chapter 33279030 that deals with the review thresholds for open space on school grounds and parks. Have you reviewed that?
I have not, but I have a staff here who have, if you'd like me to have them join us.
I'm just curious if you have issues with what the Planning Commission recommended there as well.
Portland Public Schools supports the balance of the entire code refinement project. This is the singular issue on which we disagree.
So have you seen, you referred in your testimony to the staff's recommendations, so I'm assuming you've seen
the city staff's original recommendation,
right? So you support that?
I do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CJ. So I want to just have a brief conversation with my colleagues just to figure out how we proceed. I am the accidental chair of this proceeding today, and I want to make sure that we have good order and procedure. 15 people have signed up to testify, and it is our tradition, particularly when people have waited a long time, to give them up to 3 minutes. I am advised that there are a number of amendments that could be offered by my colleagues to different portions of this. I've seen a number from Commissioner Fritz, and I understand Commissioner Leonard may have an amendment, and there may be others. And as everyone here knows, this is not an emergency ordinance, so we would not be voting on the merits of any package today. It would automatically go over to next week. So I'm a little concerned that there's a chance we'll be at risk of losing a quorum as we get closer to 5:30 or 6, but I want to make sure that we're just in concurrence about how we proceed. So I would take suggestions from my colleagues.
So I would like to hear testimony before moving my amendment, because I might not move it if depending on what the testimony is.
I would suggest we just take testimony and vote on amendments next week.
Commissioner Leonard?
Well, the only danger, of course, is if we have amendments that substantially change the document, then people are testifying to a document that we may not pass. So typically, we've taken amendments at the beginning of any session so that people are testifying on the relevant information. So I'm fine with waiting until next week. I just don't like people to feel as though they've wasted their time.
There might be a compromise on that, Commissioner Leonard, which is to the extent there is any amendment which makes a substantial, proposed amendment which substantially changes, I see no reason why we could not signal that now without adopting the amendment, so that if someone testifying wanted to address the alternate case.
Well, it's not an emergency, and I think that the fact that it's had 18 months of review in the community, it behooves us to take our time. We could continue the hearing till next week and take more testimony and amendments next week.
I am simply the humble president of this body. I do not rule with the iron fist of the mayor, but I want to just make sure my colleagues are satisfied with process. And we do very much want to hear from the people who've signed up to testify today regardless. So, Commissioner Leonard.
I'm fine with waiting, understanding that, and I'm inclined, so that people know, to propose the staff's original recommendation in terms of the types of reviews that would be required.
So that amendment would go to change of grade. Commissioner Fritz, I understand you have a number of amendments which would go to some other provisions without getting into the specifics.
Minor concerns about the good neighbor agreement, both in the code and in the administrative policy. The administrative policy ones we could address later. The code changes, I think, are relatively minor, but I could put those out for next year.
So hopefully that's helpful for people that are here. And while our tradition is to invite people by by virtue of their order. Carla, as before you call the first three people to testify, could we extend an invitation to anyone who has a child care issue, a student that they have to pick up, or any issue to come forward first? We'll hear from you, and then we'll take it. We'll go back to the regular order. So if you have any kind of child or family issue that you need to go first, please come forward, ma'am. Welcome to the City Council. If you could just state your name, we don't need your address, and you have 3 minutes. And we'll start with you, ma'am.
Okay. Hi. My name is Patty Fink, and I was going to give you my address because it's in here, but let me just say I live in Ladd's Addition. I'm a single mother of an 8-year-old who attends Abernathy Elementary, and I'm a proud member of HAND, which is the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood District. I don't typically testify in front of City Council, and if I appear nervous, it's because of that. But after reading the letter from the Portland Public Schools' Carol Smith regarding the Planning Commission's conditional use permit recommendations for K through 8, I felt it was important for you to hear from me, both as a parent and a resident that is committed to Portland Public Schools as well as livable neighborhoods. While I believe it's laudable, and I'm going to do a lot of quoting from the school board's letter, because I was really moved by that to come here. While I believe it's laudable, as the letter says, that the district recognizes that it's the second largest landowner in the city of Portland, and that it recognizes the challenge that changing uses of their facilities can impact neighborhoods where schools are located, I think that the Portland Public School is missing the point when they imply that placing anywhere from 200 to 400 new K through fifth graders into a facility will have minimal impacts on local circulation, safety, or traffic patterns surrounding the school. And while I strongly agree that the district is committed to safe and secure setting for its children and think they've done a wonderful job at my elementary school, I think it's wrong to assume that when you add a lot of younger or older students to a facility, that the city or neighbors should not have a right to ensure the necessary neighborhood circulation and safety plans are in place to allow for a smooth transition. And finally, while I applaud the district's support of the Safe Routes to School program and also believe that the program should be fully funded, the existence of the program alone should not allow Portland Public Schools to abdicate their responsibility to address the impacts of their decisions, their conversion decisions, and other decisions on neighborhood circulation, safety, or traffic. Please, please don't get me wrong. In testifying here today, I am not out to punish the district for hard decisions. I understand that there are hard decisions to make and support that they are making those decisions, nor am I here to punish them for mismanaged expectations. My only goal is to ask the city to remember that just as strong, vibrant schools make strong neighborhoods, so too do strong, vibrant neighborhoods make for strong schools. And so to that end, I am asking that you require a conditional use review for all school. Oh, I guess that's my time.
No, please finish your testimony.
I'm almost done. And to that end, I am asking you that you require a conditional use review for all school conversions and not to exempt Portland Public School from conditional use permitting process for any conversions. I don't necessarily care whether it's a type 2 or a type 3, but I think it's important that the neighbors have a say on how to do this smoothly and effectively. Thank you.
Can I just clarify something? Thank you for your testimony.
Sure.
Thank you for hanging out. I believe that the recommendation from the Planning Commission, though, would exempt from conditional review a change of grade level with middle school being merged, being combined with K-5. So that currently, even under the recommendation before us, would not be subject to conditional review. Just want to clarify that. So thank you.
I am Laura Siddons. I am a longtime Portland resident, 30 years in 97219. I have two children in Portland Public Schools, and I am Capitol Hill Elementary School's Safe Routes to School coordinator. We just had a lovely walk to school on Tuesday with the Mounted Police, and it was super delightful. We had about 200 people. So I also had the good fortune, I am on the Collins View Neighborhood Association board, and I had the good fortune of being able to participate in a Type 3 review process with Lewis and Clark College. And my concern with the code refinement process is that colleges not be exempt in any language whatsoever in that gigantic 300-page document from the recreational field policy. We benefited greatly from the protection that the Type 3 review process allowed us to testify and give evidence for, and I think it helped clarify lots of issues for the neighborhood and for the college and what was important for the neighbors and what was important for the college. And I just wanted to emphasize our position that we really would like colleges to stay in the conditional use procedures, please. All the things that they get to do.
Ma'am, do I take your testimony as being a subtle message to the police commissioner that you do not favor any reductions in mounted
patrol? Absolutely.
Thank you. I saw you snuck that in your testimony. Subliminal messaging to this council. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you
very
much.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks very much.
These days, aren't they?
Carla, could you now, are there any other people that have child care, child conflicts? If not, we'll go to the top of the list and call you in sequence. Go ahead, Carla.
We've had a request for someone who's not feeling well, if he could be pulled up on the
list.
Is that okay? Mr. Yoshi, come on up. And then we'll take Walt Nichols. And let's do Paul Gathcat.
If you could, all three of you could please come forward. Are you contagious, sir? Mr. Nichols is a candidate. We have to be respectful of his.
Please.
City Hall is pretty much like a public
I'll give it to Nick.
Right,
you've got it.
We want to make sure that Walt gets through this campaign. Sir, please go ahead.
Well, my name is Prakash Joshi, and I am the chair for the Collinsview Neighborhood Association. And I'm here because one of the things that sticks out for us in the neighborhood with this code refinement project is that earlier a question was asked, are the colleges part of this refinement, code refinement? And I think you asked that question, Commissioner Smith-Rich, and the answer was no. But yet there are references to college. The word college appears in this document, and I pointed that out to Deborah. So we need to have a little clarification that that's not the case, that they really mean that there's no college, because the colleges should not be part of this process at all. So we would like to get some clarification, and hopefully that the colleges have a whole different process and not be lumped with the schools and the high schools and whatnot in this process. Especially regarding the use of the fields and use of adding new fields and so forth, and those procedures. The other issue is that Portland school districts, this is about Portland school districts, and it's about private schools that are in the Portland area. But what about other school districts that have a school in the Portland area, so such as Riverdale High School, which is a school from Dunthorpe, and has a high school in Portland, in our neighborhood, and they've been severely restricted in how they could operate this school by the hearing process and so forth, by the hearing officer. And it's worked very well for the community. It's worked very well for the school. It's a fantastic school. It's done a very good job. But I think that this process might open up some issues for the neighbors where the school today is limited in some fashion to the things they can do in our neighborhood, may open up so they can do more things such as acquire more field, more property, and do those things. So I think a little refinement or a little clarification on those issues need to be made that these schools aren't Portland public schools, but they are in our area.
Sir, I think I can give you an answer to both questions, and Deborah will nod and affirm it if I'm right. This is not intended to change the rules that apply to colleges and universities. That's a separate part of the code. And it would apply to all school districts within Portland, and Portland Public Schools is only one of many school districts that have schools within our boundaries.
Commissioner, if I might ask later for staff to clarify, though, in an instance like Riverdale High School coming into Collinsview Elementary School, would we still have a required conditional use? And you can answer that later. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mr.
Thank
Nichols.
You. My concern is the good
you
neighbor.
You can introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Walt Nichols. I'm chair of the Mount Scholarly Neighborhood Association. My concern is with a good neighborhood agreement that when you get into these agreements, everybody's really good and friendly in the beginning, but then when things start to deteriorate, there's no real muscle to enforce something or consequences when one party or the other doesn't follow through. And
that's something I think that needs to be addressed with that. The other concern I have is that when the thing, this process looks like when it starts to deteriorate is when the minorities and the underprivileged and the social and economic issues of a neighborhood, when a school is changed, how the impact is to the livability. And I really am concerned about the code if they're really looking at, if we're not having a breakdown between the school district and the city code with how it's really affecting the human side of the whole issue. That's my main point. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols. Sir?
Hi, Paul Cathcart with Portland Public Schools. This will be brief. Kind of misread the agenda. I thought there would be separate hearings, so I'd signed up for the Parks and Rec portion of this, which, as Ms. Sylvester indicated, that we support that portion of it. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Carla, could you call the next three, please?
Mm-hmm. We'll go with Dave. I'm going back and forth off the list.
Please.
So we're going with Dave Johnston, Dixie Johnston, and Sean Pearson. Sam Pearson, I'm sorry.
When Carla said she's going back and forth, we had two lists because there's two different matters, but the hearing, we took them up together. So we'll be, you are free to address any of the issue, any of the four issues, categories that are before council. And thank you for your patience, sir. Would you lead us?
Thank you. I'm Dave Johnston. I live in Collinsview neighborhood. I'm co-chair of the Land Use Committee. Our primary concern being here was the apparent inclusion of colleges in the new procedures for athletic fields or organized sports fields, as the code indicates. And this appears over and over, as the commissioners have noted, in the proposed draft. Under the institutional residential zone, which is made for colleges, it indicates that organized sports fields should be under the 279 section. Likewise, under the conditional use section, 815, it indicates that they're regulated there. And other places as well. If you look at 279, it says you have to be a public school or park to be regulated. The theory of the language, if taken very strictly, is that perhaps colleges, medical centers, and other institutions and entities under the IR or conditional use sections are not regulated in their sports fields. It's probably a drafting thing to get corrected, but it does need to be corrected. Our own experience in Collinsview with Lewis and Clark College is that their fields would not be appropriate under the new procedure. I can't imagine Parks and Recs and the new procedure wanting to manage Griswold Stadium, a 4,000-seat stadium in the midst of a residential area immediately across the street from residences that runs games late at night. The conditional use for that stadium when the lights were put in limited the hours at night, number of games at night, so on and so forth. A terribly complex thing, a very contentious thing. The college had non-negotiable demands with respect to that, so did the neighborhood. Only a hearing officer with authority to make the decision could decide it. We'd have never gotten anywhere with the voluntary good neighbor agreement. We likewise have Houston Field, the baseball field, with similar issues, although it doesn't have lights or loudspeakers yet, but would qualify for an additional field if Lewis and Clark is under this new one, and the hearing officer has already said no new fields down there for all sorts of reasons due to traffic, environment, neighbors, and so forth. So these are problems. I've been through the conditional use procedure with the neighborhood many times over the years. It's not a bad procedure. It works well. Yeah, it makes you do your homework, but that's good because you get a better decision. So I would commend, first, get colleges out of that, clarify the language. Second, conditional use isn't bad. Don't give up on it too easy. Maybe some things shouldn't be in it, but it's a good way to make a decision when you need to.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am?
Yes, I'm Dixie Johnston. I'm Dave's wife and co-land use chair of Collinsview Neighborhood Association. We have been through this process a number of times in our neighborhood, both with private college but also with public high school. I am concerned in this process that the implementing conditional use code number 1.5 is going to be drastically compromised. It is very easy to go through the conditional use criteria, and these very wealthy entities, and I'm talking about Portland Public Schools, private colleges, and so on, Riverdale High School, they've got the money to hire attorneys, consultants, who are experts in transportation issues, environmental issues, land use issues, whatever they need. They will often draft reports consisting of several hundred pages. We, the neighborhoods, have to go through it. Unfortunately, the city staff has to go through it and make sense of it. Quite often, because these are experts and consultants who are bonded and insured and licensed by the state, quite often it's easy for city staff to look at the time constraints and just say, well, it looks okay. It's up to us in the neighborhood to go through all those hundreds of pages to make sense of it. Now, sometimes when we go before a hearing officer, and this is a quasi-judicial setting in a judge's chamber, we have to look and see if there are any inconsistencies in the approval criteria. And we present our case. The one good thing about that 815 section for conditional uses that really makes a difference is we, the neighbors, including business owners in the community and other people, we can go through this approval criteria set up and we can say we are concerned about certain issues. We can present it to the hearing officer. He can think through things very objectively, what makes sense, what does not make sense. If there's any inconsistency on what the applicant has put in, we can point that out. The hearing officer can see it. Usually, most of the time, the document or the proposal is approved by the hearing officer, but under conditions. So I'm asking you, please, let's take a look again at saving the 815 conditional use zoning code as it is. Do not change it. It makes everybody follow rules, and it does have teeth to it. So we need to keep it, and this also means Portland Public Schools needs to abide by that, too. I don't like that softened. This new 279 proposal is egregious and should be eliminated. I am not sure if it meets what the Planning Commission really wanted to do in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, sir.
Sam Pearson, South Burlingame. Again, I'd like to say that the schools need to be partners with the neighborhood, as does the Parks Bureau. In our area, this isn't happening. So please think about that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all. Carla, would you call the next three, please?
Hal Henry, Ronald Webb, and Fran Laird.
Me in a hot seat.
Welcome.
Welcome to City Council. Mr. Henry, why don't you kick us off?
Okay. I'm Cal Henry, and I'm president of the Oregon Assembly for Black Affairs, and we're located in Salem. We're a statewide organization committed to the improvement of blacks in the state of Oregon. And what we do to improve the status of blacks in Oregon improves everybody's status in Oregon. I'm here for a simple reason, to look at some of the issues in which you are dealing with, but also to say to you, we sent an email to you in September, and no one responded to the email on this issue. The critical matter is that cities are responsible for the citizens of the community and for the children of the community. And if the city has zoning ordinance and it's not been executed, then I think the city needs to require its officers to execute the zoning order that they have proposed. When you do not implement the zoning ordinance, it becomes a bigger issue, and it becomes a political issue to a large degree, because then people are not following the guidelines that the city has created for its laws within the city. And that was one of the big issues that we wrote to you about, the violations that had come to our attention and that our researcher had looked at and made it very clear. I'm not here to speak about that, but I'm here to speak to say, to encourage the city to ensure that its staff follow your orders, your guidelines, and your, because then it becomes easier for the people to understand that the city is looking at the interests of the people. When you don't do that, it creates all sorts of problems. And as we envision, as we review the failure of the city to implement its zoning ordinance, and also looking at the proposal that the Portland Public Schools were proposing, was making, it seemed to us that there was another, as one of you have already said, white elephant in the room, and that was to close schools and sell off the property. And I would, the Oregon Assembly for Black Affairs would not like to see the city of Portland become a party to that kind of game plan. And that's one of the reasons I'm here to share with you. I think you need to really look at what is being proposed to you to change and to correct and to sort of forgive some of the complaints that were filed against the district. If the rules are to try to make sure that you don't have to implement them against the city, I think you'll be in an error. Because I think, in my research of everything, cities are responsible for the education of the children, just like the school district is. It would not be there if the city was not there as a political subdivision. I'm glad to answer the question you have of me.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Sir?
Well, I guess that comes to me. My name is Ron Webb. I live in the Piedmont neighborhood. I graduated from Jefferson High School approximately 54 years ago. I'm a member of the Jefferson High School Site Council and Jefferson High PTSA. I'm a zoning code complaint at 10 Portland Public Schools based upon grade reconfigurations that are illegal under the school and school sites chapter of zoning code or chapter 33. And it has been nearly impossible to keep up with PPS's zoning violations and the city's response. The city of Portland is in violation of its own zoning ordinance because the city has for 2 years refused to enforce the zoning ordinances. The city of Portland is now accessory to worsening segregation and discrimination at 11 Portland Public Schools. The city of Portland has received not 102, 198 valid zoning code complaints regarding Portland PPS's illegal and discriminatory activities at these schools. The students, families, schools, and neighborhoods affected thus far have received no remediation after 2 years. Children have a short time in which to get their education. I would like to contribute by giving historical backdrop to these monumental changes to the zoning code. The original design of Portland Public Schools infrastructure was built to be sustainable with a very low carbon footprint. The design by the great Lloyd T. Keefe and Dr. Amo DeBernardis sited parks and schools adjacent to one another with each neighborhood so students could walk to school. PPS closed over 30 schools since 1960, preferring instead to warehouse children in substandard trailers and bus them back and forth across town, wasting both students' time and fossil fuels. In 2005-06, PPS closed six more schools, arguing diminishing student population to get them closed. Most of the neighborhood schools were, I guess, to support Mother Nature, upgraded in great condition, academically successful, with active parental involvement. Today, PPS is claiming there is a population bubble of children, and now PPS must purchase $11.2 million in trailers to house children rather than employing sustainable practices in reopening closed neighborhood schools. My time's almost up, but I'd like to get my last paragraph.
Please take your time.
Yeah, okay. PPS has committed a host of zoning violations to implement illegal, unsustainable practices district-wide. The zoning ordinance is being used to foster segregation in Portland. The violations are resulting in many problems for children and neighborhoods, including segregation, lack of equal access to education, gerrymandering, curriculum inequity, teacher inequity, overcrowding, inability to walk and bike to school, long bus rides. Rather than to fulfill Portland's mission of sustainability and environment conservation, they're holding this meeting that we're here today. I urge that the Portland School Council, or Portland City's Council, I've got school in my mind so much I say school almost every other word. I urge that the Portland City Council make no changes to the schools and school sites chapter of the Portland Zoning Code. Instead, I urge you to immediately begin a process that should have begun several years ago to look at the grievances of these children and schools and get them fixed.
Thank you, sir. And just so everyone understands, there is a rally scheduled for about this time outside. The Community Alliance of Tenants is holding a demonstration, so you will hear some people outside, but we'll continue. Please, ma'am.
My name is Fran Laird. I'm Collinsview Neighborhood. I'm the chairperson for Southwest Friends, an organization of concerned people with a core group of four neighborhoods directly impacted by changes wrought by Lewis and Clark College. And we also work with all Southwest Portland neighborhood associations who are affected by common causes. We are concerned that colleges are being included in a Portland Public School and Portland Public Park decision. Lewis and Clark College is a private school. We have an uneasy history with the college and of not being informed of changes until the very last hour. Last year, the hearings officer of the Bureau of Development Services issued a decision on December 3rd, 2009, denying the request to remove previous conditions so that lighting and public address systems could be installed at Houston Field. He found that the impact would be environmentally adverse, as this property abuts Tryon Creek State Park. Changes at the field would also adversely affect traffic on Terwilliger and Boone's Ferry Road. This is already designated a failed intersection by the City of Portland. Lewis and Clark College was denied changes at Houston Field by your hearings officer. Lewis and Clark College already is violating their conditional usage agreement issued by the city by directing overflow traffic into the parking lot of Riverdale High School. I live behind the parking lot. I have had people urinating into my yard after parking at Riverdale. I have had food and garbage thrown into my yard by overflow parking usage. I am personally offended and affected by the flagrant violation of the agreement with Collinsview Neighborhood regarding overflow parking. Riverdale High School has an agreement that no other entity other than their own are to use their parking lot, yet signage from Lewis and Clark College is appearing whenever there is a game at Houston advising people to use the Riverdale parking lot. In conclusion, I would recommend revisiting the decision to include a private college in the Portland Public Schools and Portland Public Parks arena. There will be a huge outcry if usage of a private practice field comes under the auspices of the City of Portland. Your neighborhoods will rally over the increased traffic, the lighting schedule, the proposed building of another field, the sound system amplification, and the proximity to Tryon Creek State Park. Please reconsider including Lewis and Clark College or any private entity in this proposal.
And ma'am, we're going to get staff to come and clarify that at the end of the testimony, so thank you.
We have that in writing. I'm not being facetious, but the thing is
that if you leave your contact information with Carla, we'll get you a follow-up email.
Excellent.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Carla, could you call the next three, please?
Next three are Lynn Shore, Marianne Schwab, and Mark Bartlett.
Carla, how many other people do we have to testify?
One more.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to council. And Marianne, why don't you begin?
I'll defer to we've got this organized. I'll
thank you. We wrote together, and so I've got the first piece.
Lynn, why don't you start?
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, council. Thank you for being here. My name is Lynn Shore. My husband and I live in the Ash Creek neighborhood in Southwest Portland, and my children attend Hayhurst and Jackson Middle School. I have a third grader and a seventh grader. I'm a proud member of the Oregon Assembly for Black Affairs, as well as the Jefferson High School PTSA. City Council takes pride in sustainability and strives to be a world leader in this area. Portland Public Schools was essentially designed to be a group of 20-minute neighborhoods. If you change code, the city will facilitate PPS's ever-larger carbon footprint, wasting resources and stressing our shrinking tax base to warehouse children after unnecessary vehicle rides to transport them. Real estate values will shrink in neighborhoods without schools, and Portland's livability index will deteriorate. In the name of improving public education, please enforce the zoning code. End segregation in Portland public schools. Reopen Portland's small schools, help students walk and bike to school, save money, improve fitness, and reduce the carbon footprint and auto pollution. Discrimination against Portland's children is occurring on city land in PPS schools. It is unconscionable that the city of Portland would contemplate sweeping changes to the zoning code in order to give PPS retroactive immunity from activities which are illegal not only under the code, but federal, state, and city law, the city charter, and the comp plan. I implore you to make no changes to Chapter 33 of the zoning code at this time. Instead, immediately enforce your own zoning code. The August 2009 release of Oregon educational data bolsters my community's arguments regarding the 11 schools. The data evidences poor academic performance at 10 of the 11 schools with zoning code violations. Three PPS schools with zoning code violations, Ockley Green, Portsmouth, and Roseway Heights, are on the NCLB watch list, and they miss performance targets for the very first time. Does our council know that not one Portland resident, from schools complainants to Grant Park safety complainants, ever asked for these zoning changes? The zoning ordinance was perfectly clear. That's why I was able to read it, and I'm not a sharp gal. The valid violations for both the zoning ordinance was clear, and thus the violations were found valid by staff Eric Engstrom in 2008 in the summer. For 2 years now, complainants have asked Portland to enforce its zoning ordinance. The City of Portland's refinement project has been unnecessary with predetermined outcomes. The predetermined outcome of this project was to provide retroactive immunity to PPS for zoning code violations against children, resulting in lack of equal access to education. We could not know that the city would negate 60-plus years of zoning history and would introduce at the 11th hour a zoning code change which would allow K-12 schools in all Portland districts, PPS, Centennial, Reynolds, Stable, Douglas, Park Rose, and Riverdale. Why has there been no notification of this extreme system to stakeholders? The only stakeholders who want zoning code changes are the ordinance violators, PPS, and those who have failed to enforce the ordinance, City of Portland. If the City of Portland changes the code to give PPS retroactive immunity from zoning violations, this means the City of Portland deliberately wants segregated schools in Portland. It means the mayor and council now sanction K-12 schools, which is illegal under state law without express Department of Education permission. See OARs 581-022. Why suggest zoning changes which do not comport with state law?
Lynn, if you could wrap up, please.
Okay, I have one sentence left. Okay. How could this benefit our children? Justice, particularly with regard to children's education, should be swift. Where is our children's justice?
Thank you very much. Marianne?
Marianne Schwab, Inner Southeast Sunnyside Neighborhood. We've called the Real Estate Trust PPS our own Halliburton because the trust is a private outsourcing of essential city and school functions, can hide its actions because it is a private corporation, can avoid public oversight. The Trust and Innovation Partnership are not representative of the interests of the Portland community when they actually stand to profit from the enrollment declines. When PPS let the Trust take over property management, the rationale was PPS had lost the ability to manage their properties and needed help. The Trust's main argument was that they brought the real estate experts' experience to work on the persistent community problems like cumbersome PPS real estate. We wondered if the district's violation of the law during school closures were due to the ignorance of the city school policy. Yet several individuals who have led the school closures throughout this century actually helped author the city school's policy, Ordinance 150580. We proved that PPS intermittently followed the zoning code and went through required conditional use reviews depending on the relative wealth of the neighborhood. So it's difficult for PPS attorneys and city staff to reign that the zoning code is unclear.
Saying the term elementary does not define the state-mandated grade levels is like saying the term blue does not define a color. The state of Oregon defines the elementary school as any combination of grades K to 8. It is not complicated. It's about the health and safety of our children. An elementary